Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. I'm a senior risk management consultant here at StoneX. I work with producers and end users, hedgers and speculators, anything to do in the futures markets and options, also OTC, structured products, managed programs, and cash consulting. If you have any questions for me, what I do here, you can give me a call at 312-706-7610. Or email craig.turner@stonex.com. All my contact information is in the show notes. If you are a client and you like what you hear or you need to make some adjustments, please call, text, or email me anytime. If you like the podcast, we always appreciate a positive review on iTunes, Turner's Take on iTunes. And then if you want to check out the newsletter, Turner's Take newsletter, you can just go to turnerstake.com and find it there. All right, so today was a WASD report. January WASD is usually one of the bigger reports of the year. It's definitely the biggest report of this time period, or this season, I should say. I mean, after the October WASD, this is the big report that follows, and then we don't have another very big report until really March planting. You can make a little case for the ag form, and that can be important too. But for the most part, the January WASD really is the biggest report from mid-October until late March. This year, it was a little bit quieter than normal, especially when you have high prices and high stocks. Sometimes you can get high prices and low stocks. Sometimes you can get a market, a limit up or a limit down move in a report like this, but that is not what we saw. So there was, in my opinion, two headlines came out of today's report, one bearish, one bullish. The bearish one is winter wheat. The winter wheat acres, particularly, it's really the Chicago contract, the soft red winter wheat, acres were higher than expected. A few of us, or a lot of us, who are following the industry insurance data would have expected lower acres. The economists out there, and we always make a case for the economic implications of these things too, would have argued for higher wheat acres because of the price of wheat, the lower input costs, and the availability of inputs. The bulls were arguing that the RMA insurance data was lower than normal and they thought there'd be less acres. Well, it turns out, based on today's seedings report, that we'll have a little bit more acres in the soft red winter wheat, maybe 5 or 6% higher. And that led anything that was bearish on the board. So wheat, for the most part, led the markets down. Corn was kind of caught in the crosswinds of that, living on, you know, both sides of unchanged, positive and negative for most of the day, because the number on soybeans was bullish. And the bullish headline here, most bullish number in the report, my opinion, was global stocks for soybeans going down. We were at got the report up in front of me. I want to say we were at 102 million metric tons. Million tons for, you know, global soybean stocks, ending stocks, on the December WASD, they went down to 95. So 6 to 7 million lower. The trade was only looking for about 2 million lower. StoneX was even more aggressive, looking for 98 lower. Ended up being 95, which is the way end of the way low end. You know, wheat ending stocks were a little bit higher globally. Corn was just a little bit lower, you know, when it comes to the ending stocks. So the soybean number, global ending stocks, was lower, much lower than we thought. And that's why soybeans finished strong today. So soybeans were strong. Wheat was weak. That, and you take a look at the chart, corn stuck in the middle of it all. That really is this report today. As I look at some of the other numbers here, I mean, there's some interesting talking points, but nothing to change the trend. There's nothing in this report that's going to that warrants any kind of major movement, like a limit up or a limit down move. And there's nothing in this report either that would suggest that the trend or the dynamics of the markets have changed. So just to go through it real quick, USDA did update the acres on corn a little bit, increased them. I mean, maybe what, like 200,000-300,000 acres, you know, for soybeans, they lowered the acreage by about 100,000-150,000. Not much stuff going on here. The yields in corn stayed the same. The yields in soybeans went up 0.2 bushels. Not a big deal. Production did come up a little bit for corn. it did come up just a little bit for soybeans, but nothing crazy. The ending stocks for corn was 1.54. That was about 50 to 70 million bushels higher than what the market was looking for. Our chief economist, Arlen, he actually pegged the number pretty well there. There is an argument to make that exports will be higher for the United States in corn. I think they may have lowered it a little bit today in the WASDE, just from the reduction of production that we're seeing right now in South America. If that holds and we do have lower corn in Brazil and Argentina, some of those exports will come back to the United States. Too early for the WASDE, I think, to really jump into that. But that is something we could see in future reports. Also for ethanol, it looks strong. I think the USDA will continue to play to that theme too. So the corn number could get lower. I mean, it's not a ton lower. Maybe 1.4, 1.3 in the future. If we're wrong on some of these things, you know, maybe it is right around 1.5. Don't see at this point the production. I don't see ethanol stocks or the ethanol demand coming down. If anything, stay steady or go higher. Same with exports, unless there's some credible change in development in the weather in South America. So that's probably I'm going to guess that's corn stays the same, earning stocks get lower. With soybeans, USDA increased stocks to 350 from 340. Market was looking for about 350. So that came in as expected. Not a whole lot of changes in beans. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a better crush going forward and some more exports. And again, all centered around lower production in South America. If that is what happens, then that could get a little bit tighter. Also, the global stocks were tighter, and what's going to be interesting there is, you know, when you take a look at global soybean stocks, then the big number, and we'll generate some charts for this tomorrow, is what do the global ending stocks look for major exporting countries for soybeans? I'm sure they came down a little bit, so that'll be a big deal. Probably stayed around neutral for corn and wheat. When you take a look at the production estimates, the USDA did decrease soybean production in South America. Or in Brazil, what was this? Brazil soy went from 144 to 139. Brazil corn went from 118 to 115. So they are getting a little aggressive. Again, the market was looking for reductions. There is a number that the market has in mind, and they know that CONAB and the other reporting agencies and the USDA aren't going to be as aggressive as the private analysts. So as long as I think the trade is fine with that, just as long as the production comes down in South America and is on its way lower, that'll be good enough for the bulls and the weather story there. Finally, just taking a look at this, there are no big surprises in stocks. I always say corn can surprise you sometimes. Some of the biggest surprises we see in these monthly reports really come from the quarterly stock side because I probably sound like a broken record at this point. But you got to remember with corn, you know, when we get updates on the quarterly stocks, we've been able to track ethanol production on a weekly basis through government reports. And we get the monthly WASDE update on it. And then also, too, we get to see the exports weekly and monthly also. For feed, you really don't. There can be big changes in trends and feed out in the country that you just don't know about and only really finding out about it once a quarter means there's a lot of time in the market for things to change. That's where you get those surprises. Didn't see those big surprises either this week. So December stocks, the stocks report, it's stocks as of December 1, fairly quiet. And then again, it's the winter wheat seedings. I've been saying all week it was going to come down to the stocks numbers, according to the December 1 stocks numbers and also the winter wheat seedings. Didn't see the drop in global soybean ending stocks. So that for me personally, that was a little bit of a surprise, a little bit of bullish surprise on the soybeans. We knew there was going to be uncertainty around winter wheat. All winter wheat acres were about 34.4 million. The trade was looking for about 34.25. I was actually looking for a little bit lower. So was our chief economist, Arlen, here, too. That didn't happen. But we did see an increase in wheat. The most of it, we saw hard red winter wheat increase about 300,000 acres. It's about 200,000 less than what the average trade guess was. But with winter wheat, we increased again 300,000 acres. But that's a lot of a bigger percentage to 7 million for soft red winter wheat over, 23 million, 24 million for hard red winter wheat. Trade was only looking for 6.5. So that's actually a pretty much a much bigger increase than I think, on a percentage wise. If we take 7 divided by 6.5, that's about a 7 to 8% increase over expectations on soft red winter wheat. So that's why, maybe the numbers right next to each other don't look that bearish, but when it's going to very eventually filter it down to the ending stock projections, we still don't produce enough wheat than we consume. We're going to have a draw again on hard red winter stocks, but it's not just about that. It's based on expectations going to this market. So when you take a look at the board today, we see that winter wheat was down 13, 14 cents between Kansas City and Chicago. Minneapolis wheat, the spring wheat was a follower. That makes sense. This is more of a winter wheat bearish story. Spring wheat was only down 7 or 8. On the bullish side, we thought beans would be bullish after that report. It was, ended up finished 13 higher. March is right up about 14. Trying to break through 14. Not surprised there. We'll go back to trading the weather in soybeans. And then corn was just stuck in the middle. We finished down, I think, 2 cents for the day. But we were down a couple, up a couple all afternoon after the initial algo reaction to the market. And that makes sense. Beans were trying to drag. Corn report was neutral. Beans were higher. Wheat was lower, so it really just kept corn right in the middle there. So going forward, I always like to say the January WASDE sets the tone to at least the Ag Forum, if not, you getting through the weather in South America and then planting intentions. What's going to happen here is I think the spread between Kansas City wheat and Chicago wheat gets wider. I think we have seen some export demand come in for the wheat market when we get to these lower prices. For the winter wheats, it's the low, it's around the mid sevens, and for spring wheat, it's the around the low nines. I would expect that to happen or continue to happen. There is a lot of dryness out in the Western Corn Belt where a lot of the Kansas City wheat. So if there's going to be a bullish catalyst at the moment, probably going to be hard red winter, and I. Which in my mind, excuse me, should be the leader up in the wheat complex. When it comes to the corn and soybeans, I would think corn is range bound for the moment, like a 580, 620 kind of range. 570, 615 kind of range, just looking at the charts here. And as the weather continues in South America, the longer this goes on for, it'll impact corn more, right? Because the second crop corn is about 3 to 4 times bigger than the first crop of corn down there. In South America, they plant beans first for the most part, and then the second crop there to follow the double crop is the shorter season corn that goes in. The forecasts are hot and dry now. We are seeing rain, and a lot of the price movement in soybeans probably over the next couple of weeks is going to be how much rain we get. I think the U.S. model, the GFS, is calling for less. The European model is calling for more. Hard to say who's right here. We'll just have to see. But there are garden spots in South America, particularly central and northern Brazil. There are some pretty bad spots in southern Brazil and Argentina. In an intense La Nina year, the losses outweigh the gains throughout the country. And then we're starting to see that. So we are going to be in a weather market. We are going to be elevated. It's going, and then soybean, and then corn here will have follow-up issues. What's going to be an interesting trend now also is the acres for the United States. That'll be the next probably hotly debated topic between now and March. The Ag Forum will comment on acres and what their projections are. So that'll be the first. And then we'll actually have a real survey in the end of March. But it's going to keep everyone guessing. When prices are this high for all the commodity markets, it means all the major crops are competing for acres. And then it becomes, local, like Illinois and Iowa. It's not going to matter. They're going to be doing their normal rotation. You get out west, there's going to be some serious consideration for more wheat. If they have lower productive ground, they may even, and they can't get corn, fertilizer. I don't know, maybe they do look at soybeans, probably more wheat. Maybe they double crop beans, wheat. Also going to depend how dry things are up north. Farmers I talk to, especially North Dakota, are going to be looking at more spring wheat and oats. The farmers we talked to in Texas, they are going to be more bullish on cotton, I think. And it's interesting, we did talk to a lot of farmers in Ohio, and they did say they were going to plant more wheat, which is the Chicago wheat, and they did. Iowa added, as a percentage-wise, a good chunk of the wheat. So that was very interesting too. So these are the themes that we'll be following going forward. I don't think there's any big reason to change trading plans or marketing plans at the moment. It is setting up for more of a bullish than bearish possibilities for corn and soybeans and spring wheat and Kansas City wheat going forward. So I wouldn't be surprised if the funds eventually start using Chicago wheat more as their short leg to spread against a lot of these products. We'll get into soybean oil and energy next time. That is a long-ranging thing. But what I will say is just real quick on energy is that crude oil is rallying again. And the feeling out there is, the variants that we've seen from COVID aren't going to be, the world is kind of shaking that off. It's not as, people aren't getting as sick. It's almost acting like a cold. It looks like, these shutdowns or any kind of drag it has on the economy is going to be less than last year. And there, and also that means the energy demand hit that we took last winter won't be as severe as we will this winter. And you're already seeing like the market starting to look forward into February, March, and April when all this COVID is behind us, and they're going to be focusing on more of a demand. So I think that energies will go higher, and it should be supportive for soybean oil. I think Malaysian palm oil with March was at a contract highs again. If palm oil is starting to trade at or over soybean oil, that's just a bullish sign for soybean oil. It is the last. Soybean oil is the most plentiful soy vegetable oil that we have that's on the export market in any kind of size. And here we are almost butting against 60 again. USDA stuck to their guns, kept cash prices at 65. So again, that's cash price, not futures price. And the cash price of vegetable oil since we've had this rally has been higher than the futures in the spot months. So that's where we are. If you are a client and you want to need to position yourself, if we want to take a spec trade on some of these ag markets heading into what's going to be the, some critical times of the weather or maybe even for the summer for the U.S., we can do that. If we want to get old crop and new crop marketing plans together, let me know. I do think for our commercial clients out here, you still need to buy kind of month to month and wait and see how much production we have as we go forward. I don't think that makes sense to make big purchases going down the road because all it's going to take is one big crop cycle to alleviate some of these prices. So our commercial friends out there should continue to buy on a month to month basis. So that's where we are. Give me a call if you have any questions. I hope everyone did well today, and I will talk to you all next week.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.